Thank you. All right. All right. Any concerns, questions, comments before we resume with our country reports? No? Okay. South Africa, would you like to come up here or do you want to speak from your table? All right, from your table. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
In the corner? I'm asking the AV.
Yes.
All right, they're ready. Okay, good. Hey, folks, can we have your attention? Thank you. Okay, South Africa, you're on.
Thanks, I'm waiting for
Oh, microphone.
It is up. It might not be switched on at the end.
See if you have to flip your switch. Remember, it's like a light switch, down for on.
I shouldn't come too strong, though. All right. Thanks, Madam President, for the opportunity to make this report. On behalf of South Africa, we are going to co-present, and that's why I wanted to avoid this. There are points that my colleague Christa is going to help with. I'm not going to start from the beginning of the report. I think it's normal that we present the introduction and everything. But it's important to note that we have had elections in 2024, that is on the between the 11th and the 13th of March 2024. And the new committee was elected, which is now myself as president, Ntshavheni Neshituni. We've got Prof. Obed Magube as the vice president. We have the treasurer in the name of Mr. Dina Moodley. We have additional members, Mr. Hanif Kruger, Ms. Namsa Mukwebo, Ms. Eric Gama, as additional members, and Christo de Klerk. Now, the South African Braille Authority does provide support to its members, and I would want to give some highlights with respect to the endorsement of the Braille producers in the country, where we have Blind SA and Pioneer Printers as benefiting from this support. This helps them to access business with government in particular when they have to produce material for government, because they had to be endorsed in terms of what they produce. We have a long list of checklists which assist us in identifying areas of expertise and what the component of staff, if it's adequate to provide what is required in terms of production of Braille. And obviously we do ascertain that they produce in terms of the Unified Braille Code in terms of South Africa, or UEB, as it were. The projects and activities that we embark on, the authority continues to partner with organizations for purposes of projects that go in support of the use of Braille and the promotion of Braille. We have the Read Aloud Day that we always report on, which is a project led by the Blind SA team. It started, if you recall, when we started the hype about it some years ago. It was a one-day event which took place around January, and we moved it to February, and it became a full-week event which schools register and participate. It requires staff and volunteers of Blind SA to move around schools to present the project, because it involves many activities, including a treasure hunt and reading and comprehension and so forth. We have as well the event with the South African National Council for the Blind, which is the Braille Cup competition. When it started as well, it started in the early part of the year as a one-day event, but it came to light that it is important that it needs to involve as many schools, and it was then moved to the latter part of the year, which is September, October. And we've seen it growing to invite almost like 70% of special school participated in the Braille Cup competition in the recent years. So this is the growth we are quite proud of, and we wish we can have some more projects with organizations that are affiliate to us, so that we can ensure that Braille is promoted and we get everybody to understand the need to have Braille in the country. We have also partnered with Blind SA when it comes to the Antoinette Botha Braille Museum. You'd recall that when we reported on this some few years ago, it was a project which we were saying that we are still trying to put up. At that stage, and maybe as an authority, we need to echo this apology to say we had some people and organizations across the world who promised to give us some items that will help us to get the museum up and running. I recall very vividly that the president herself got her stuff posted to South Africa. And I'm disappointed to say even today we don't know where it is. We would have loved to have that gift from the president to start off the project.
I'm working on another mountain.
Oh, gosh. Maybe you should have brought it along. And I must specifically thank Leona. She undertook as well to help with the items to start with the project. At that stage, it was very difficult to get the items out of Australia to South Africa, but I'm told that we seem to be getting things right now, and when we leave, we might leave with those items on Friday and Thursday. Thanks very much, Leona. And now the project was launched in 2022, in November. It was a great success, which we are very much proud to be associated with as an authority, to have this first museum in Braille launched in South Africa. I am trying to skip the reading, but to do much of the talking on these things. So the committees, we have committees that we have assigned some work to, so that they can assist with the spread of the work. We have the Rules Committee, which is working with Africans materials. They have finalized the updated version in terms of the Africans rules, in terms of the UEB standards. And in the next year or so, they should be able to launch it. The executive would be waiting for it to be finalized. Then we can go through it and endorse it before it gets to be adopted by the General Assembly of the South African Braille Authority in a year or two. The next thing is the Africans Languages Committee, which is on the roll as well. It became stagnant previously because of the committees of the authority were not as functional, including the executive itself. But we believe with the new leadership, we're going to make strides to ensure that committees and every organization associated with the authority gets to be doing what they are expected to do, so that we do not continue to have disappointing reports in terms of the authority. The Section 27 Blind SA partnership on the copyright amendment bill was a great success. In 2021, we reported that the matter was at the High Court in Pretoria, and the court declared the Copyright Act of 1978 unconstitutional insofar as cross-border material and exemption of material and converting material into alternative formats is concerned. And that was confirmed by the Constitutional Court in 2022. What could be the disappointing point, though, is that we have expected quite a great deal that we are going to have this enacted by Parliament and most probably passed as law within 24 months, that is from 2022 September. And now we're going to be seeing the lapsing of 24 months in September this year, and we haven't heard anything in terms of the progress on the amendment of the copyright amendment bill. And if it is not passed into law by then we do not have any choice but to go back to the Constitutional Court and to ask for the order of contempt of court to be declared against government so that we can see that happening. It is now coupled with political hype, including your elections that's coming. Some of us, we won't be even able to vote because of this conference here. But we're not going to be seeing this thing done, we believe, at least in the real expectation of it, that we're not going to be seeing that done anytime before September. So it's going to be a problem for us. But then it was a victory that we have had the Constitutional Court to declare that part of the act unconstitutional. Chair, I would wish to ask for Christo to join me so that he can give the other part of the report, which is more on other activities that organizations are doing, which is not part of the written report. And it is important that we have that recorded, President. Chris, are you fine there?
Thank you for the opportunity, Madam President. Ntshavheni mentioned the Afrikaans rules. Just a little bit of background there. We have 11 official languages in South Africa, and all of them have grade 2 braille systems, and all our braille systems are based on UEB. In other words, UEB grade 1 is the same for all 11 our languages. Then each language has its own contraction system. And they have various numbers of contractions. Afrikaans actually has about, I think, has 7 more than English, so it's a fully contracted system. Now, we are revising the rules because traditionally they were very much based on pronunciation, because they were compiled long before computers were even a glimmer in some electronic eye. So we're doing away with our pronunciation and we're simplifying the rules. So that is ongoing. Ntshavheni mentioned that it will probably be implemented in a year or so. The reason for that is because the Duxbury Braille Translation Table and the Lib-Lewy Table will have to be amended and tested before we can implement that, and that's going to be a major undertaking. Duxbury makes provision for all our languages, and Lib-Lewy now handles 8 of our languages. Then a project that's just kicked off in our country is a pilot project for Lego Braille teaching in schools. We've got 4 schools participating in that, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of enjoyment for the kids to learn Braille through play. And Ntshavheni mentioned the Read Aloud Day. For the past 2 years, we've coupled it with a story writing competition for kids. The winning story would be the one that would be read aloud, and the best stories then also found their way into a booklet that got published. This year, I can just share this with you, it was sad, but a bit amusing also. 2 of the stories, when I checked them, looked a bit dodged to me. So I asked ChatGPT for an opinion on them, and it told me that one was a sort of an improved rewrite of Aesop's Tales, and the other one was an improvement on one of Grimm's fairy tales. So those two did not make it into the booklet. Braille 200 is also our theme. Blind SA is running this theme. There'll be various Braille promotional activities running from the 1st of June this year until the end of May next year. So whichever is actually the 200th year, we will make sure we'll be covering it. And for information, in South Africa, because there is such a shortage of Braille writers in schools, and cost is an issue, and government is not buying Braillers, we have started importing a lower cost Braille writer from Slovakia. It's a machine called the Tatra Point. It is named after a mountain range in Slovakia, the Tatra Mountains. This machine sells for just over half the price of a Perkins, and we've been importing them since 2016, and to date, two of them have come back for repair, so that's not bad. We are quite impressed with this machine. It's a lighter weight machine, also easier for the kids to carry around. There is an organization in South Africa, Bona Ubuntu, and they are providing Braille training through a Dutch company, Visio, from the Netherlands. And the reason why I'm raising it here is it would be very interesting to hear the view of other experts, because they have a totally different methodology of teaching Braille than what we're used to. What we've traditionally done, we'd start with the upper letters, A to E, F to J, and then we would add the dot three and follow the Braille patterns. They don't do it that way. Their training is based on the letter frequency in a particular language, so they learn the letters that appear most so that more words can be made. So if we could discuss that at some stage and hear what you think about that. So that, in brief, is... Sorry? I did mention the Lego. Vuga. yes. Thank you. So I will then hand over. If there are any questions for the two of us, we would be pleased to deal with them.
Amanda has a question.
I was just wondering if you would mind repeating the name of the brailler that you're using from Slovakia and spell it for me, please. But I've got to run back to my seat where my pen and paper are, so just give me half a moment.
Yes, it is Tatra Point. It's T-A-T-R-A Point.
Thank you.
I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember the blister. It looks quite a bit like a blister, and it functions. In other words, it has a carriage that moves, not just the printing head that moves like with the Perkins.
And the buttons can be.
It's got two models. The one you can adjust the width of the buttons from each other to suit small hands and big hands. But we're not salesmen for Tatra Point.
Thank you. Anything else?
Hello, this is Saya from Spain.
Yes.
As you mentioned, this Tatra for braiding, do you also send free or certain courses? Citizens interpretable braids, like Orbit or any other. And the other thing is related to languages. Is a braid as well? Is that related to African language so much as it looks to be read in one language and the other? All the different codes from Dutch and Africans can be easily understandable.
Okay, excuse me. Thank you. I'd like to find out if apart from the Tatra Brailler, do you also offer or lend blind citizens Orbit or any Brailler, first of all, Braille? And also, if there is any kind of agreement between the Dutch and South Africa to provide books from one language to Dutch and Afrikaners, if those languages are mutually intelligible between one another.
Okay. As for the first question,
thank you.
We're always looking at at low-cost machines. The machine I have in front of me here is one that we've been importing from India. It's a machine called the BrailleMe, which you can buy 10 BrailleMes for the price of one Braille Note Touch. I have it here. I can show it to you. So in South Africa, because of a bad exchange rate, very, very few people own Braille displays. It's considered to be a bit of a luxury. But with the low-cost machines, more people have them. This is, I think, about the price, half the price of an Orbit. The Orbit is in South Africa. So that is as far as the Braille display is concerned. Afrikaans and Dutch are mutually intelligible. I think I understand it about 100%, and I love Dutch literature. I read it on this machine here. I am currently reading a Dutch book and so on. I like that. In the Netherlands, they got rid of grade 2. Up until the year 2000, they had exactly 4 contractions, and in 2000, they got rid of those 4. So they're just using grade 1 Braille.
Anything else? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's see how we'll do with the UK. Are your microphones working, UK?
On number 5.
James?
Yep, it's on.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Madam President. And so UCAF is the UK's Association for Accessible Formats. I think I got that right. And the Braille groups continue to meet online and work on various things. We haven't published very many documents in the last 4 years, but one of them has been a single sheet for those who've only learnt UEB and need to read documents in the older Braille code. Now, we did actually do one from the older code to UEB some years ago, so this is like the opposite direction. I have no idea how many people have downloaded that document, but it's up there in case anybody need it. Like many organisations, the AGMs and various other things from UCAF have all been online instead of in person, and sadly this has meant to less well attended meetings. However, on the plus side, UCAF has started doing some seminars, online seminars, with speakers from technology, accessible publishing, inclusive design and education on a range of subjects, and these have been recorded and should be on the UCAF website. One of the big projects that the Braille groups have been involved with over the past few years is a revised template for the Duxbury Braille translator. We had this weird situation, and I don't quite know how it happened, where the Barna template got imported to the UK, and our layouts are quite different, and so we had this wonderful job of picking out styles and modifying styles and making them become more UK-centric. And this has included things like headings not having blank lines around them, bulleted lists not having blank lines around them, tables of contents with different kind of leader lines, and our famous UK end markers. We have this sort of line of horizontal dots that we put at the end of sections and so on and so forth, and much, much more. It was a much bigger project than we originally thought, and I'm very grateful and would like to thank our colleagues at RNIB and at Duxbury Systems for all their help and expertise. It's been very much appreciated. In doing so, we also learnt some of the intricacies of the Duxbury translation program as well, which is always valuable knowledge to have. We've also been involved with looking at mathematics, and in particular the question of the grade one indicator, where there were several ways in which were technically correct to write the same mathematical expression. Now, my colleague David Spybe in the UK, who was instrumental in one of the books, which I'll be mentioning in a moment, discovered there were five possible ways of writing x plus y. And it's a fairly simple mathematical expression, but he came up with five ways which are all valid, and they use different combinations of grade one indicators and so on. So I'm grateful to Clive and the technical committee for taking that document that we submitted, and it's really encouraging to see that it's become the basis for a consistent approach. And we look forward to ongoing developments with that. Now, the books I mentioned, RNIB was hoping to publish a trilogy. Yeah, a real book on a trilogy on Braille. Using UEB for Mathematics. That was the first one, written by my colleague David Spybe. Using UEB for Science. And the third one, which we still not published, is Using UEB for Modern Foreign Languages. And the reason why it's not published is because we found a problem with Spanish. Different organisations were doing different things. So I'm very interested to catching up with some of you guys to find out what you do in your country for the inverted punctuation. On the subject of languages as well, we discovered we didn't actually have any guidance for Welsh and Irish as a second language in the UK. So we looked into this, and we were very pleased to find that actually what we'd already done for other languages hopefully ought to apply in the same kind of way, and really it boils down to using the UWB, Unified Welsh Code, or UIB, Unified Irish Braille, in the same kind of way, uncontracted or contracted. Moving on, one of the interesting projects which hasn't really gone anywhere yet, but we're monitoring, there has been some concern about the overuse of typeform indicators. We heard about those this morning, that UEB has the facility to show all different kinds of types, bold and italics and underline and so on and so forth. But are they sometimes used too much? We don't know. The problem seems to have quietened down, and we're not sure if that's transcribers being more circumspect or if it's readers becoming more familiar with the signs, but we're monitoring the situation to see what's happened. Another thing in the UK which is a little cause for concern is we don't have a qualification for I can teach Braille. Now, hearing several of the country reports, you've talked about proficiency in Braille. That's not the same as being able to teach Braille. And we're very interested to know if there's anything out there about proficiency in teaching, not just the code. We're also really interested and have been working with the DAISY Braille Music Project and the various tools that are being developed. And one of the things that the UCAF Music Group has recently done is published a document on all the main conversion tools which can take music XML and convert to Braille music. Now, I'm not going to say too much more about that because I know we've got lots of papers on Braille music coming up. But you can find the document on ukaaf.org/music. So that's UCAF. Moving on, I must mention the Braillists Foundation. Ilka mentioned them earlier. I'd like to expand a little bit. Really, I shouldn't be doing this. This should be Matthew's call because Matthew is the general manager. So Matthew, if I get any of this wrong, please feel free to correct me and tell me off later. So the Braillists Foundation is going from strength to strength, I think it's fair to say. The main activities include a Braille for Beginners class, which includes you sign up and you can download audio lessons and you can get sent hard copy Braille in the post. It teaches you the uncontracted Braille code and a few basic punctuation, numbers, and so on. And then the opportunity to go on using one of the other existing Braille courses if you want to go and learn grade 2. There's also masterclasses, which have been on a huge variety of subjects. The most recent one is how to choose the right SD card for your Braille display. And all the intricacies of, you know, computer geek speak, letters and numbers and what do they all mean, etc., etc. Before that, we've had topics including, well, I did one last month on adding your own contractions to LibLui, and I'll try not to get into the wonderful realm of sinistrodextral and why that's an exception. Then there's the popular Braille Bar, where you can just rock up and ask any question you like, as long as it's to do with Braille, and a panel of experts, I don't like that word myself, hopefully come up with some answers. And we have all sorts of questions. Everything from how do you roll your paper into your Perkins to how do you improve your reading speed or how do you do this on an iPhone or with a Braille display or I can't get my Bluetooth to connect or it could be anything. We've even had questions about grade 3. And of course, the Braillecast podcast series, which is at braillecast.com. Those who are streaming will be on that already, but there are lots of other bits and pieces there too. And there's also a book club, which is it's more like a reading club, and there are various rooms for different Braille proficiencies from beginner right the way through to expert. And all these initiatives, the mailing list has over 2,000 subscribers, which is, I think, a wonderful achievement. Moving on to RNIB. RNIB continues to be at the forefront of Braille in the UK. And a few highlights. In 2020, as has been mentioned, there were national lockdowns. And the Braille library at RNIB had to close. This is because the landlord actually locked the building. Now, because of lockdowns and so on. So what do we do for our Braille customers? Well, we can't actually send them books. And we actually did ask our customers not to send them back, but they still did, and we ended up with huge postal crates outside the building, stacked high with canvas bags of Braille volumes. Whoops. But in the meantime, we made an SD card containing, I think it was about 700 books at the time, and people got Orbit Reader Braille displays. I think there was a grant that enabled us to give, I think it was about 100 Braille displays out free of charge to our library customers. And that card has become rather popular, shall we say, and it's expanded. And the latest version had, I think it was about 6,900 titles. And it's really interesting. That sounds a lot of books, 6,900. You can fit them in 2.75 gigabytes, which is nothing, comparatively speaking. Continuing with the library, it changed in 2021 from a warehouse-based, you know, off-the-shelf books to an on-demand library where Braille books get embossed and sent out to customers as they're requested. And one of the big advantages of that, particularly during the pandemic, was you get fresh, clean Braille every time. It was the other thing we did with those Braille books is we shrunk the size of the volumes. And Judy has mentioned the sharing table. I've brought a sample of a book which I will bring on the table for anybody who's interested to see a small Braille book. Of course, the downside is you get more volumes, but the upside is they will go through your letterbox. We've spoken about Braille music a couple of times already, and in the UK, the RNIB Music Advisory Service continues to administer the Gardeners Trust Braille Music Literacy Awards otherwise known as GTLA. And in 2022, those awards got revised. They previously just included reading a piece of music and then playing it back to us. In 2022, those tests got revised to include much more variety of tests, including reading, writing, memorizing, answering questions on a score, and even spotting differences between what you hear and what you read. And 2023 provided our first opportunity to test those with real candidates, and we were really pleased to have even a level 4 candidate. There's only 5 levels, and this particular candidate was self-taught. That's pretty impressive, jumping in straight in at level 4 being self-taught. If you want to know more about the test, come and see me afterwards. We've also mentioned the Lego Braille bricks in South Africa. Mentioned them. The UK has been very heavily involved in that, and I understand 900 teachers have been trained in them and been quite popular. I mean, Lego and Braille, come on. What could be better? And you can do all sorts of things with them. Now, it's not been universally 100%, yeah, these are absolutely great. Some people complain it's not contracted Braille. Some people complain that the Braille dots are uniformly spaced, etc. It's another tool in the toolbox. Use it where it's useful, you know? And they have been very popular. Another project at RNIB, which is hopefully coming to fruition shortly, is the digitization and putting online of a Braille learning course, which was originally based at Birmingham University for the teaching of what we in the UK call qualified teachers of the visually impaired. In the US, I think you just call them TVIs. In the UK, we have to add an extra letter, and it's QTVI. It sounds like a bad Scrabble hand to me, but never mind. We've collaborated with Child Vision in Ireland on this, and we are just about to start external testing, which is going to be very interesting how many emails I get when I get back to the UK. We mentioned the celebration of the 200th anniversary of the invention of Braille, and we discovered something rather concerning. If you look on Google in English-speaking countries and ask it, when was Braille invented, it'll say 1824, which makes the 200 years this year. If you do the same in the French version of Google, it'll say 1825. So in the UK, we've decided to celebrate the 200th year of the invention of Braille in the school academic year, which is September to July, and a range of events are being developed, shall we say, all sorts of projects and celebratory things hopefully coming up. I'd just like to finish by thanking everybody who's been involved, not just in UCAF but also in RNIB, and not least to ICEB, who fielded all sorts of wonderful questions when we've had them, and it's been a real privilege to be part of this organisation. Thank you.
Thank you, James. I actually have a question. You mentioned the change in your library books, and I've seen the ones because they sent us some samples. But what's happening now? Has the library reopened? Do you have the books gone back to the way they were?
No. We still do everything on demand. The warehouse was closed down, and so if you order a library book now, you will get a fresh Braille copy, just like you were sent.
What about books online? Can people download books?
Yes. So we also, I didn't mention that, we also received, we've also got a reading services platform, and you can self-serve and you can download books in Braille, in audio, and where available in various other formats as well.
Other formats? What would those be?
So all new Braille books which get produced by RNIB go into the on-demand library system and also get uploaded to reading services.
Hmm. Anyone else have any questions?
I do. It's Kim online.
Who's that?
It's Kim online.
Kim, yes.
Yes. Can I ask about how you're supporting young learners with graphicacy in regards to early readers, if it's all online?
If what's all online?
The books.
Oh, no, sorry.
Have I missed something?
No, sorry, the reading services, you download books, and it's one option. You can either download your books or you can get them still sent in hard copy on demand.
And that's inclusive of graphics?
The graphics would only come in the hard copy version.
Okay.
I don't think any of our books on reading services have graphics.
Do your hard copy books have tactile graphics?
Occasionally. The other piece of the jigsaw which I haven't mentioned is RNIB Bookshare Education Collection, which is possibly more, Kim, where you're coming from. RNIB Bookshare Education Collection, which is a bit of a mouthful, is the service for teachers and students where you can download not just Braille books, but there is a tactile library, tactile images library as well.
Thank you. I'll have a hunt.
Yeah, you probably won't be able to see much because you're not in the UK and you won't be able to register.
I have family. I'll use my connections.
Very good. Yeah, but that's available to teachers and students in the UK.
Okay, anyone else have questions for James?
Golden,
yes, please.
This isn't really a question, but it's just kind of to answer the question that you brought up, James, about standardized teaching courses for TVIs, so not just proficiency as in transcription, but for teaching. And this is an issue in Canada as well, where we have some courses that TVIs or people who want to be TVIs can take in a couple of different universities across the country, but we don't have something that's standardized, and this is a concern, something that, you know, we feel needs to be addressed. So I just kind of wanted to answer that comment that you'd brought up.
Thank you. So it's not just us.
It's not just you guys.
Thank you.
Hang on, can you get a microphone, please?
It's Amanda and Nicola are going to talk about this. So in New Zealand, that was something that we identified, that for the teachers training to be QTVIs or TVIs or resource teachers of vision, whatever you'd like to call them, they needed to know the Braille code, but it was also important to know how to teach Braille and how to teach literacy and numeracy through Braille. So Blends worked with a program that came out of the Birmingham University called...
It was something to do with Vue. I don't know what the program was called, but we've adapted it with consent from Birmingham University.
So they put Blends put some RTVs through the Birmingham program originally, and then they've come back and adapted it for New Zealand. So from a training perspective for the vision teachers, they have to learn the Braille code to complete their qualification at Massey University, but then when they go back to Blends, they then have to do further training on how to teach Braille and how to teach Braille through numeracy and literacy. So there is a program available for that.
Yeah, it's actually the switch to that. So it's actually they have to learn to teach literacy through Braille.
Sorry.
And numeracy through Braille. So. Yeah. That program is now up and running. I was in the first cohort that went through it last year, and that's working really well in New Zealand, and that goes through the mechanics of reading Braille and all those variety of things. And I think, yeah, we've got more
Francis.
People.
Francis is going to be doing better.
It's Francis Gentle. If I could just add, in terms of UEB Online, when I would talk about it in different countries, people would say, when do we put the child on the program, and of course it's definitely so. We've just secured, this is Next Sense Australia, some funding, philanthropic support, to put basically the Macquarie University Next Sense teacher training program in Braille literacy onto the UAB online site for free as a series of instructional videos, and then I'm going to add some quizzes to enable a certificate at the end. But I haven't started. I've started, but it hasn't. I hope to launch it on Louis Braille Day in January 2025.
Oh, cool, thank you.
Wow. All right.
Judy, it's Mary.
Yes, Mary. Can you find a microphone, please?
Sorry.
Thank you. James, are you reporting those 6,000 titles to the Accessible Books Consortium?
That's a very good question. The Accessible Books Consortium is an ongoing project at present at RNIB, and we hope to have that fully sorted out in the next few weeks, I understand.
Does that mean no?
It means at present, RNIB, at the time of I'm speaking, RNIB is not signed up to the Accessible Books Consortium, but the wheels are in motion.
That's interesting, because we do have books from RNIB in our
You do?
Yes.
Yes, you do. That wasn't done through ABC, though, was it?
Well, I mean, it was done through Marrakesh, yes.
Yeah, okay. But it wasn't done through ABC. It was done through Marrakesh, but
it may have come, you know, pre-ABC.
Yeah. So RNIB, as far as I understand it, RNIB fully intends to sign up to the Accessible Book Consortium, and the wheels are in motion at
the
present time.
We got the Outlander series from RNIB. It was amazing. All right. Anything else?
Hi, everyone. I'm Tino, and I'm one of the observers. I have a couple of questions to our presenter. I'd like to acknowledge the presentation. However, you mentioned something to do with some kind of a, I'm not sure whether I heard it right, it's something to do with people being a platform for people to ask questions about how to work, you know, how to get the Braille to work, something like that. Is that available to the public? And my second question is, for your library memberships, is that restricted to the members of your respective organization, or is that something that others like us can be, you know, can access to? And while I have the chance, looking at this tactile, this nicely done flags and all that, my question is to our colleagues here, is the machine to produce those things available here? And if so, how can we be able to purchase one? Thank you.
Wow, that's a few questions.
Well, that's three questions, and I think three different people need to answer them. So Matthew can take the Braillist one, and I'll take the flags one, and you can take the other one.
Yeah, that sounds
fair. I'm right behind you.
Yes. All right, since that was first, you go first.
Hello.
Sorry, it was easier to find the lectern mic than it was to find any other. Thank you for your interest in the Braillist Foundation. This is Matthew Horspool. I'm the other UK delegate, and I'm also, as James said, very heavily involved in the running of the Braillist Foundation, so it's great to have your interest. We are a UK-based charity, and so sometimes what we officially are allowed to say is different to what in practice we do. A lot of our funding says that our events have to, we have to prioritize a UK audience for funding reasons. That said, most of our events happen online, and so, if it's an online event, we're not going to stop people from coming along, and consequently people do. And actually, we really actually quite enjoy having people from other countries coming in. We think it really adds something to the event. So the answer is yes, please do come along, but there might be some messaging from time to time that conflicts with that because of what we have to report to the funding bodies.
And just give the website again, Matthew, for...
Ah, yes, the website is braillists.org.
And sign up is free.
And it's
terrific.
So you mentioned, can you access the RNIB library services as an overseas member? I believe the answer to that question is no, but if in doubt, contact our library services team at RNIB through the helpline, helpline@rnib.org.uk.
And I'll answer the flag question because I made the flag book, and that is done with swell paper. Those literally were done with a Zykem machine, which I believe is actually British, but it's sold in the US. There are plenty of other machines that do exactly the same thing. And Maria could tell you if New Zealand has such an animal that you could see somewhere, I suspect. Oh, I know they do because we have swell paper in our packets. So sometime, Maria, maybe you can talk about what you have here and how they might see it.
So Zabon sells them here in New Zealand, and HumanWare also sells them here in New Zealand. To see a...
The HumanWare folks will be here on Wednesday. Would they be bringing such animals?
Not sure.
We could ask them.
But also the Ari from Samoa was coming to visit Blends and Blind Low Vision next Wednesday, so we can show them the machine there as well.
Oh, good. Okay. You'll get to see that. And I just downloaded, I went to CIA World Factbook online and downloaded the images of the flags and brought them up in, I don't know, paint or something and printed them. So, and then I stole the descriptions and brailled them. And right. I forgot to make print. But all of you print, I won't even ask if there's a print reader in the room who can't read Braille. I won't embarrass you. Okay. But, you know, some of us Braille readers will be happy to help you, print readers. If you need help, just let us know. All right, anything else for this lively conversation?
Working it, can you? It's Frances Gentle again. I'd just like to contribute to the question from Samoa. The WIPO Accessible Books Consortium is proposing offering a workshop on Marrakesh later this year in Vic Sydney. And the Accessible Books Consortium, of course, there many, many books are available for people who have countries that have signed Marrakesh. And also Bookshare is an excellent source of books, and they offer, I think it's free for low and middle income countries, is my understanding. So that's another source of accessible formats.
All right, thank you. Are we ready for the United States? All right. United States, you're on.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Frances Mary D'Andrea, FM, reporting for the United States. And my colleagues here at the table can add anything that they feel I have missed. So, the United States has now been using Unified English Braille for new transcriptions, believe it or not, for almost a decade. We adopted UEB the vote was taken in November of 2012, and we had an implementation period, but starting January of 2016 is when all new transcriptions were done in Braille, in UEB. And new transcribers and teachers have been taught UEB as well, rather than English Braille American Edition or EBAE. Although I hear there are still some books in the old code by individual schools and people who can't bear to throw away a Braille book. I teach at a university, and my students still come across books in their schools, and they say, what is this weird symbol? I can't understand what the symbol is. and so I have to explain to and to and by and the royal and for of the with so that they can look at those books. So the more than 1,850 individuals have now obtained certification in UEB, either original or updated certifications through the Library of Congress Braille Certification Program for transcribers and proofreaders. We adopted Unified English Braille, but Nemeth Braille Code for Math and Science Notation is also an official code in the United States, as is the Music Braille Code and the International Phonetic Alphabet. So certificates in Braille music transcription have also been issued as well. There was an updated course for the certification in music and of course also in Nemeth. The Nemeth one was just completed, and testing for certification under those new rules has recently resumed. And an additional certification course has been developed that will focus on the technical transcriptions in UEB and should be available soon. So the use, of course, of, as we've all been talking about all afternoon, of electronic means for reading and writing Braille is also essential, as well as paper Braille. And the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, NLS, has implemented free loans of two different refreshable Braille display reading devices that were specially designed for library patrons to access NLS materials. And that has been just a huge success. The implementation of the service is just, the United States, folks in the United States have been hearing from many Braille readers about how much they appreciate having this option, especially for folks who have who prefer Braille over audio materials and just were not able to afford a refreshable Braille display. So they now have access to a large number of texts that they're enjoying. So the NLS collection of books that are available in UEB has grown to 4,635, thanks in large part to the Marrakesh Treaty, which came into force in May of 2019. For school children, as those of you who have attended previous GAs may recall, that procurement and production of Braille materials for school children is generally handled at an individual state level. We do have some national organizations such as the American Printing House, APH, and others that do provide textbooks and educational materials at, you know, for many states and at a national level. But states have their own instructional material centers and also contract out for state testing at an individual state level. And the same goes for, to answer James' question related to certification of teachers, that is also usually handled at a state level as well. There are a number of states that require Braille proficiency, not only in the code, but also in instruction. There seems to be a recognition in the United States how important it is for teachers of students with visual impairments, TVIs, to understand the reading process. In recent years, there's been a lot of focus on what is often referred to as the science of reading, where there's an understanding that teachers have to work with their the general classroom teachers and others to make sure that children are actually learning to read and write using Braille, and they're not just memorizing a code. So there's been a lot of many states have now require, I live in Pennsylvania, and that is one of the states that does require all teachers, including any special ed teacher, to take courses in reading. But some state, because it's the United States, I don't know why we call us the United States, frankly. Because there are many things we're not quite united about, and so people have, different states have their different systems for certification and qualifications for teachers. So it's very interesting. As both UEB and Nemeth materials are available for technical materials for math and science, BANA's recommendation is the decision to use UEB or Nemeth within UEB context for technical materials should be based on the individual education program, the IEP, so Braille readers' individual needs. Some states, and again, Mary Nell and I are both from Pennsylvania, and we were one of the states that issued guidance documents to help educational teams make decisions related to code use for instructional materials and for assessments. And the provision of UEB for both technical and non-technical materials continues. I can tell you it's the testing companies were probably lagging behind, wouldn't you say, folks from the U.S. lagging behind some of the others, just because the proprietary nature of the materials, and they also work on these tests years ahead of time. I beg your pardon?
No, I said in advance.
Yeah, in advance. So it just takes a while, I think, for things to catch up. So moving on to BANA, the Braille Authority of North America, which has now 15 member organizations. BANA is an organization of organizations, and four associate members. And it has been a busy last 4 years. The board and committee have worked diligently on completing several new and updated code books and guidelines, and many of these documents have been in the works for a while because of rely on the work of diligent volunteers, and they represent thousands of hours of work by these dedicated people. So the content of the documents were created and they're reviewed by subject matter experts and also by panels within BANA and by the BANA board to ensure their accuracy. Mary Nell could certainly tell you about the publication process for that, and Jennifer and Tamara could certainly talk about getting those documents to make sure that all the versions are all matching and are available on the BANA website. So some highlights of our work in the last few years is the Nemeth Code for Mathematics and Science Notation 2022 is now available on the BANA website in print and Braille. And so this updated code provides rules and examples of Nemeth materials embedded within UEB text. And some of you are familiar with the code switching operation that's in the rule book. But the new code system replaces the old code book, which of course coordinated with English Braille American Edition. So this means that children no longer have to learn a code that is no longer supported to read their math. So that was a very exciting thing. And that, as a corollary to that, the chemical notation using Nemeth Braille code was also recently published, and that updated the 1997 version of the chemical notation that goes along with Nemeth, and it added a new section that provide guidelines for creating tactile graphics for chemical equations and images. Also notable is that the BANA Chemistry Committee worked with the American Chemical Society's Committee on Nomenclature, Terminology, and Symbols which I didn't know existed until I was liaison to this committee. And it was really a wonderful partnership between a professional organization like the American Chemical Society taking an interest in making sure that the Braille materials were as up-to-date as possible. So those that both Nemeth and chemistry are available on the website now, and then hard copy Braille and print will be available for purchase through APH. The other large project that we all clapped very loudly when it was finished was the BANA Tactile Graphics Guidelines 2022. And that is also posted on the BANA website, which is, by the way, brailleauthority.org. And these newly revised guidelines also include examples in both UEB and Nemeth. And again, hard copy, print, and Braille will be available from APH, along with a supplement of examples, which will be available as a separate document. Other recent documents that have been updated to align with UEB or with new policies and regulations that are also available on the website. There's guidelines for Braille transcription of languages other than English. So James, that might be, again, a document that you'd be interested in looking at as well. Braille guidance, BANA guidance for the creation of Braille signage was updated recently. Guidelines for Brailling business cards, and the guidelines for transcribing knit and crochet patterns that had been published a few years ago has also now been updated to reflect Unified English Braille.
Business cards?
I said business cards, yes. The guidelines for business cards. What? Yes, okay. Okay, other activities. As several of you mentioned, there was moving our meetings to virtual meetings during the pandemic was interesting. I think, Tamara, you had the privilege of being the only BANA chair that never had a meeting that was face-to-face. So that was an interesting time. So we have recently resumed being able to have our semi-annual meetings in person, and it's been lovely to have our hands on Braille again. While many of the publications that I just talked about are related to many of the, textbooks and things like that, as far as, textbooks and magazines and books and things. We also have recognized the importance of attending to Braille that's dynamically generated as well. So a major focus of BANA's Committee for Electronic Braille Translation is issues around accuracy of print-to-Braille and Braille-to-print translation. Braille on the fly, as Jennifer always talks about. BANA is a member of the DAISY Consortiums, the eBraille Working Group, and have other activities that are related to making sure that the Braille that is created through on the refreshable Braille displays is also as accurate as possible. Our General Committee on UEB has been following the discussions about the use of Grade 1 indicators quite closely, and had published what we call a provisional guidance document about transcribing mathematics in UEB. It's still in effect, but we have been following the UCAF discussions and their latest revision for the use of, especially related to the use of Grade 1 indicators and the discussions that are going on within ICEB's technical committee. And so we're very interested in seeing where that goes, again, with an eye to making the transcriptions as consistent as possible. And so we're following that with great interest. BANA's Outreach Committee has produced a series of podcasts interviewing representatives who serve on the board about their member organizations, and those have been well received by our constituents and I believe are archived somewhere. Are they still available on our website, Jen, or does anyone know? They're not available on the website anymore. Okay.
But they're in, like, if you go to Apple.
Oh, they're in the Apple podcasts? Yeah,
in,
thank
like,
you.
Pod, you know, at least we would get
podcasts. Okay.
Braille bits.
Okay. Lastly, I want to talk about the Darlene Bogart BANA Braille Excellence Award, which is an award that is presented every 2 years. And we have presented this award at, we like to present the award at a conference where we know there will be a lot of people, so we presented it at the California Transcribers and Educators of the Blind and Visually Impaired Conference and the Getting in Touch with Literacy Conference and other places. And our 2023, we presented the award to Dr. Sarah Morley Wilkins, and she was recognized for her work in tactile graphics and as director of the National Center for Tactile Diagrams for RNIB, and also for her work with the project manager with the Daisy Music Braille Project. And so she was in absentia, but had a lovely recording, that video that we were able to play at the conference, and we talked a lot about how to encourage people to in the U.S. especially to get involved with Braille music and to celebrate that international code with their students and with each other. And thank you to ICEB. I am finishing my second term as secretary, and I think I had counted up, I had done 43 sets of minutes at this point, soon to be, we had a meeting yesterday, so 44, 45. But beyond that, I have very much enjoyed serving as the liaison between BANA and ICEB, and wished the new executive committee great success in the upcoming 4 years. Did I leave anything out?
No.
Okay. Any questions or comments or?
James.
Yes, go ahead, James.
Yeah. FM, you mentioned issues in accuracy of Braille translation for Braille displays. I know this is going to come up again later. As you may know, I have done a lot of work in the past few years on the LibLui system. It is essential, please, to report issues, otherwise we cannot fix them. So I'm looking forward to speaking particularly with Jennifer later on about her list of issues, which I don't actually know, so that we can actually get them on the roadmap to be fixed. So once again, a plea, if you find errors in software, please report them to the relevant people. Don't just complain, report the error and how it should be fixed. Thank you.
Jennifer, did you want to respond?
You know, maybe relevant people is kind of part of the problem.
That's
do we?
Yeah, exactly. So report Duxbury issues directly to
Duxbury. We know where to go for Duxbury.
And
but
I can tell you where to go for LibLui. There's a GitHub tracker thing.
Jennifer, do we have a comprehensive list of such contacts?
We do. And okay. We can have more conversation, but it's not a new idea to report the issues.
No, I get that. I'm just wondering if we always know where.
Always the only place, right? If we have to go on GitHub, then yeah, we need some more information about that. But the Libvirt list.
Yeah, I mean, going on GitHub is
not for the faint-hearted.
Yeah, it's not. So, I mean, an email address would be nice.
Well, you could use my email for now, because I'm apparently supposed to be maintaining the UEB tables.
Oh, good.
But actually, GitHub to report an error isn't too bad. GitHub to actually do code maintenance is a completely different ballgame. And I'm not going to repeat what Christo said about GitHub. To report an issue is actually reasonably straightforward. But yes, do let us know the issues, and then we can at least have a look at them, see if we can do anything about them.
Okay, any more questions?
Did you have anything else?
Any more questions for the U.S.?
Are you sure? Go ahead, Jennifer, you can respond. No?
Jennifer?
Pardon?
Are you going to talk?
Oh, I don't have the mic on. Okay.
What?
Hello, I don't have a mic, and it's not...
All right. Oh, there we go. There we go. So, yes, more information about reporting through GitHub will be helpful, because it's probably good to have more than one person have to be the responsible person that knows about it. And
sure.
Really appreciate the work that you're doing, James. No, not a problem. There, so.
contact me outside the meeting. I'm very happy to tell anybody how to report an issue through GitHub, and I'm also very happy to be emailed.
Great.
Okay, anything else?
Didn't say, by the way, we'll be able to fix it. I mean, I don't actually know some of the answers how to fix stuff, and this is one of the interesting things about the LibLui community. It is a community, and we do try and help each other sometimes.
Oh, here, take this one. There you go.
Just a quick Donna with a quick follow-up. So. Again, having reported some issues via other methods and on the list, appreciate what has been fixed. So looking forward to having those conversations.
She's also documenting issues in various screen readers. So it's a many-headed monster. Mm. All right, anything else for the U.S.? All right. So that does it for the country report. Anything? Sorry? Yes? I think we will adjourn soon, but does anyone have anything for the end of the day? Any questions, comments? Anything?
Hazelman, observer.
Yes, observer. Can somebody?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I had a question for Crystal from South Africa that I had in mind. Crystal, how did you work with your indigenous people in codifying their Braille language, especially for languages like Ngoza?
Oh, very good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Just to correct that click, it is Xhosa.
We have dueling clicks here.
Originally, the codes were developed by a gentleman we called Oom Doek. Oom is the Afrikaans word for uncle. But those languages were later all revised by speakers of the languages themselves, which is a good thing, because obviously they would make a better job of it. And some of them, especially the Braille code for the Sotho languages, is a very good one. It's one of the best Braille codes, I think. If you look, for example, at the space saving, English grade 2 saves between 19 and 21% with its 180-odd contractions. The Sotho languages have only 80 contractions, and it saves 27%. So that's pretty good. We have our Braille Authority has a committee for African languages, and they work on the codes of those languages. They monitor them. They revise them as necessary. Thank you. You
want to add something? Thank you. Anything else? Yes, you okay?
We had a question earlier about producing tactile diagrams using a Zychem machine. There are two main approaches these days. Well, there are three if you include the thermoform machine that was mentioned this morning. The other way to produce tactile diagrams is using an ordinary, in quotes, Braille embosser. Many embossers can produce tactile diagrams. There are differences between swirl paper and embossers. There are pros and cons with both, and it might be worth you investigating both methods.
Oh, there are other ways too. Yes. Okay. All right. We will adjourn for today, and I will see you all back here at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Judy, did you want to mention the nominations closed?
5, yes. Anybody who wants to be president, make sure you get your name to or any other officer. Nominations close at 5 p.m. Get your nominations to Debbie Gillespie.